And there'll be another edition of the television version, of the book, of the play, of the radio series, of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, of The License to Print Money, at the same script next week.
You're watching Oxbridge Graduates 2.
And with the time here on Oxbridge Graduates 2 just coming up to 9 o'clock, this is quite decidedly not the next week's news headlines.
Good evening, cults everywhere, and welcome to another studio recording of Not the Next Week's News Headlines, the freshest, most original, most achingly funny comedy show ever to emerge in the entire history of old Dave Allen quickies. And my God, this is funny. I can hardly see the stage for the tears of laughter in my eyes. Even as I talk to you now, doctors are fighting to sew up my sides. Spontaneous hemorrhaging breaks out in these conditions of almost unbearable mirth, in which 16-year-old genius superstar Martin Feldmanson talks about abortion in a funny voice. Oh, and there goes another priceless four-letter word. One of the two we hadn't yet heard this evening. And I think that, yes, they've just shown a piece of film of the Queen, followed by a close-up of someone picking their nose, in order to affect the caustically satirical yet somehow irreverently topical notion that the Queen is picking her nose. And I just don't know if I can live any more through this agonizingly irreverent Montreux-winning brilliance. In fact, no. I am indeed now going to die of irreverent laughter.
The BBC would like to apologise for that slightly irreverent outburst. The radio programme responsible, The Birkis Way with Birkis spelled wrong, has now been given a smack body and sent to bed. And instead, we now present this.
Scargildy, the 14th of Vanessagust. London is no longer the same place, nor is London. The very will to live has been slowly and cruelly drained from man using a team of National Car Parks attendants. Technology wields supreme power. Sex is now available in ring pull cans, which won't open. And throughout Oceania, everyday life becomes filled with new, ever greater domestic pressures.
Winston.
Yes, dear?
Come to bed.
I am in bed.
No, you're not. It's no use trying to pretend, Winston, I can tell.
Oh, very well. If you must know, I'm sleeping rough in the wardrobe again tonight.
Winston, stop torturing me.
All right, I'll put away the thumbscrews.
Winston, come into bed and listen to me. Darling, when was the last time we made love?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, Winston, don't lie to me. I saw you. You were the tall one in the spotted pyjamas, the one playing Scrabble on the pillow.
Only towards the end, Julia.
Tell me the truth, Winston, you... You don't find me attractive anymore, do you?
No.
Don't play with words, Winston. I've known for some time. Tell me, what is it that's come between us?
Well, if you really want to know, Julia, it's...
It's yes?
Yes, it's about 12,000 tons of whale blubber.
I see. You never did approve of my operation, did you? I had hoped you'd understand. I had hoped it wouldn't make any difference to us, but I see now I was wrong.
Julia, a whale change is a very big step for a woman to take. You might at least have consulted me first.
I couldn't help it. Oh, Winston, I had to go through with it. Ever since I was a little child, I've had this same awful feeling that I was a large marine organism trapped inside a woman's body. Surely you must have suspected.
No, no, Julia, never.
Not even when you came home early that day and found me in the bedroom wearing those two goldfish bowls?
I thought it was a see-through bra.
Winston, you're so naive.
Julia, stop doing that. You're wetting the bed.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's something else I have to tell you. Something I should have told you before. The fact is, I'm going to have a baby.
Don't you think you've had enough to eat already tonight?
Not to eat, Winston. Don't you understand? I am with calf.
What? Up the spout?
Yes.
There's only one thing for it.
Yes, that was the one you used.
Julia. Julia, I shall have to put in more night work at the Ministry of Truth, starting now.
The Ministry of Truth, dreaded home of the state propaganda machine, where black becomes white, fiction becomes fact, and modesty becomes Bruce Forsyth.
Here we are again at the Ministry of Truth.
Good Lord, is that the time?
No.
I say, have you heard the news? Follips was arrested by the Thought Police last night for kissing his photo of Big Brother at the wrong end.
The state hears everything. Remember what you've been taught, comrades. Big Brother is up your nose. Look out! The vid screen!
Comrades of Oceania, a message from Big Brother. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., there will be a special vidcast which you will all watch. It will contain vitally tedious information compulsory to every citizen and is this year's entry for the Iron Lung of Montreux. Until then, remember the party slogans. War is peace, freedom is slavery, and it's quicker by tube. Above all, remember, Big Brother is up your nose. That is all. Now continue with your work.
I suppose we might get on with it.
Oh, well, back to the old history rewrites. Now then, let's have a look. What's the first item for reprocessing today?
England, 1980. The scene, a small ancestral home somewhere on the south coast.
Well, there we are then, Lady Marquis. Melville, how does that one feel?
Well, to be honest, it feels a bit long for a hyphen.
Oh, but positively everyone is wearing her hyphens long this summer, madam.
I don't care. Take about 14 seconds off it.
As you wish, madam. Tell you what, madam, this is the hyphen for you.
All right, let's slip it on.
Let me help you here.
Thank you. I say, you don't think it's too ostentatious, do you?
Your Grace jests. Why, as hyphens go...
Excuse me. Hello, Lady Marquis.
Here. Is that Sandra?
No, Lady Marquis. Melville.
Oh, very sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Goodbye. I don't think so, somehow, do you?
Not to one's taste, madam.
Then why not try the quintuple barreled look?
Quintuple barrel?
Absolutely. Four hyphens instead of one. Look, we put one hyphen here, one in here, another just here. And in a flash, the name of Marquis Melville assumes a totally new prestige.
Mark you, I smell vile.
If you just make the check out to Savandra and
Get
Sons,
up.
We can right away.
Well, that's the extract. Now, let's see. I think we'll just rewrite the date to start off with.
England, 1780. The scene, a small ancestral home somewhere on the south coast.
Enter. What is it, Hackskins?
Just old age, sir, just old age.
Well, put some oil up it, Hackskins.
Very good, sir, I'm sure. There's a gentleman to see you, sir.
Send him in, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. I am the international sex kitten Gina Lola Brigida. Real name Arthur Sputum of Ealing.
Yes, Sputum, I've been wanting to see you for some time. Just over 3 years ago, Sputum, when I was Duke of Wellington, you came to me and said that if I made you my catering advisor, you would develop a dish that would make my name live on forever in the annals of culinary history. And what did you come up with?
Beef Wellington, sir.
And refresh my memory, artisan of mine. What exactly did this Epicurean delight Beef Wellington consist of?
A raw cow with gumboot stuck on its hoof.
Then my memory was playing no trick. Suffice to relate that now, after months of lying low and undergoing extremely painful 18th century plastic surgery, I have managed to work my way up to being Earl of Sandwich. Now, over the past 3 months, I have signed chitties for over 85,000 loaves of bread delivered to your research laboratories. And this, I am given to understand, sitting before us now on my desktop, is the fruit of your labours.
Yes, sir.
A breadcrumb.
Yes, sir.
I was expecting something a little larger, Sputum.
Well, breadcrumbs are that size by tradition, sir.
Oh, fascinate me further, Sputum.
You see, sir, the breadcrumb is only one unit of the finished article. Now, take a look at this, sir. Here we are. This is what you get when you put hundreds and hundreds of breadcrumbs all together, you see.
I see. This is your idea of genius, is it?
Sorry, sir?
Threading 500 breadcrumbs onto a 7-foot-long piece of cotton.
I'll just knee myself in the groin, then, shall I, sir?
No, I wouldn't dream of putting you to all that trouble, Sputum. Allow me.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Ah, time for the special vidcast.
There now follows a party political broadcast on behalf of Big Brother.
Hello, chums. BB here. You know, one of the nice things about running a totalitarian state which crushes every shred of human will under the jackboot of relentless oppression is that you get to meet people. And I know from the ordinary working folk I chat to on the racks and on the interrogation room floor that all in all, you're behind me in what I'm trying to do for this country. That's why I know you'll give me your total support next month when the Big Brother primaries come round. I mean, when we come down to it, what's the other candidate got to offer? He says he's going to watch you. My friend. There's a lot more to hyper-paternalism than just watching people. Up their nose. That's where you've got to be. And stupid. Boris, I've told you not...
Winced. You You can't switch him off like that.
I can, and I have, Julia.
Your voice. How can you talk like that with Big Brother up your nose?
Oh, blow my nose. Don't you see, Julia, Big Brother isn't up my nose. He never was up my nose. He isn't up anybody's nose. He's not even up your blowhole. Big Brother has got to be denounced.
4 weeks passed, and Winston bided his time. But the seeds of suspicion had been sown. If Big Brother was continuously up people's noses, why wasn't he covered in fingernail marks? Then, on the day before the election, Winston was suddenly and without explanation transferred to another job at the South Catford Hatchery and Conditioning Centre.
Now I'll just show you around the hatchery. This is where we genetically engineer over 3 million humans a day. Through this door is our experimental lifespan section. In here, we're combating the problems of unemployment by producing people with reduced longevity. In fact, here's a senior official with the AUEW just being born now.
I want a lolly.
We will not concede to management demands that our members should suffer any reduction in their standard of...
Amazing. How long did he live?
From birth to death, I mean that just under 15 seconds. and here's a leading civil servant just entering the world.
I want a lolly. The department will not intervene in a market-oriented situation. Such as exists in the...
Now, you'll be working just along here in our classification department. Each infant is labeled with its designated caste in life. These are the main ones which you will commit to memory.
Alpha, Big Brother, Beta, Lawyers, Gamma, all people who read books by Jilly Cooper. Delta, all people who write books by Jilly Cooper. Epsilon, everyone else in the world. Omega, people who write for BBC Radio.
What are those men hanging under your arms for?
Oh, these are the lowest grade or Omega Minus manual workers. Fred and Russell here are trained from birth in their pre-selected social status of underarm perspiration. Okay, lads?
I know.
And out there, you're going to see two apprentice trenches and a training squad of Philips Posidrive underblades.
Thinks. This is scandalous. This monstrous master race regime must be stopped at all costs.
All right, that's quite enough of that, Smoth.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Revealing your innermost thoughts through that 100-watt echo unit PA system.
You dare?
Yes, we know all about your true feelings, Smoth. Why do you think you were brought here in the first place? Big Brother is waiting for you. Through here.
So, Winston Smoth, sit yourself down. Would you like one of these to smoke?
No, thank you.
Would you like this to smoke?
No, thank you.
Well, we've got to put the electrode somewhere.
Oh, all right, then.
Now then, Smoth, I am going to charge you for grievous crimes of capitalism.
American Express?
That should do nicely, sir. But before that, you will doubtless wish to know what gave you away. On Kinnock the 14th last, Smoth, you may remember being issued with an old 1980 TV news extract for reprocessing. You will probably recall it went like this.
Good evening. On Newsnight tonight, we ask the question, is Charles Wheeler's head false? We'll also have an in-depth interview with a small lump of socialist dogma, and we'll be seeking an answer to that age-old riddle. Why do the BBC keep wasting vast sums of money changing their current affairs programmes around when nobody ever bothers to watch them in the first place?
And here on this first ever edition of Late Night News Topic on 2, we'll be putting that very question to the head of BBC News, Mr. ITV Carrot Dangler.
But first here on Focus Night News Spectrum News Tonight News, it's time for...
your brand new nightly news digest, Brown Paper Bag on 2. Introduced by me, a cross between Bob Wellings and a piece of stale chewing gum you want to spit out but can't.
Hello. And tonight on Little Bits of Orange-Coloured News You Poke With a Stick, we look at the case of Mr. Tancred Stigma, the London botanist who claims that while in police custody for a sneezing offence, 14 and a half truncheons were inserted into his head through holes not previously there. Well, with me is Chief Constable Sir Lionel Hawkins. And I wonder, Sir Lionel, if you could just tell us briefly what is the official police reaction to these extremely serious allegations. Sir Lionel, thank you very much.
That was the original, Smarts. Your instructions were to remove all offensive matter. Instead of which, after reprocessing, I find the broadcast sounds like this.
Good evening. Tonight on Drone Something Tedious, James Burke explains how to harness solar power by placing photoelectric cells down the back of his trousers. But first...
A careless blunder, Smarth, indicating your true hatred of the system. But fear not, you can still be cured. Ladies, step in here, would you please? Now, Smarth, how many naked ladies are there in the room?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, four, sir.
Correct. And if I now bring in another naked lady, what do you get?
I'd rather not say, sir.
Correct. Now, if I tell you there are not five naked ladies here, but six, how many naked ladies do you see? Smoth?
Sorry, what did you say, sir?
If I say there are not five, but six naked ladies, how many do you see?
Five.
Smoth, I think you need another pair of spectacles.
No, five's quite enough, thank you.
I see a more radical approach is called for. Miss Thrimpney-Botmo?
Yes, sir?
Tell the girls to file them away for the time being and then unlock room 101.
Oh, my God. No, you wouldn't. Room 101? They say the worst thing in the world is in room 101. You can't put me in room 101. You can't do it.
Room 101.
No. 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 It's the thing I dread most in the entire world. It's hideous. It's...
Eric Powell to Croydon.
Shut the... Don't think you much more trouble. Now then, on to the Big Brother cabinet reshuffle.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I shall be promoting Norman O'Flarkson from Kid Brother for Energy to Lord Privy's sister at the Department of Education and Hypodermic Syringes, which means Peter St. John Ormitage, formerly Cousin Gloria at the Home Office, will now become Minister Without Daddy at the Inland Revenue. And Sir Roland Perskins will move sideways from under Auntie Mabel at the Treasury to become permanent Big Baby of the Exchequer. I wonder if Smoth's had enough yet.
No, on a piece of elastic.
No, no, please, please, no more, please. I can't take it.
But still the tortures continued. Slowly but surely, Winston's resistance was broken down. He confessed blindly to 1,000 gruesome crimes, including the massacre of Glencoe, the Eurovision Song Contest... and non-stick frying pans that leave little shreds of Teflon all over your fried egg. He admitted overall responsibility for the Nolan sisters, which he said would never have happened under a more liberal pope. His entire personality. The indoctrination by the state was at last complete. Winston Smoth loved Big Brother. After a six-month engagement, they were married at a small church in Sevenoaks on Saturday the 3rd of Alaunda, went to town on their honeymoon, and then settled down in a little cottage in Felixstowe, where they had six lovely children, three screwdrivers, two trenches, and a patch of underarm perspiration. And thus did Winston Smoth and Big Brother live happily ever after. The end.
...1984. And if you missed any of that, there's another chance to see it by looking out the window. But now on Oxbridge Graduates 2, Friday night, Saturday morning, introduced by Ned Hare Painted on His Head.
Hello, and this is me, Ned Hare Painted on My Head, welcoming you again to Friday night, Saturday morning. And my first guest is arguably the most brilliant intellectual to be found anywhere today in his sports jacket. Tall. These are just some of the many adjectives one could use to describe this amazing personality. Already the author of 1,984 best-selling novels, one of which has replaced Oxygen as the most popular item on sale in Moscow. So rich, he uses a chauffeur-driven 3.5-litre ostentation to turn over in bed. Ladies and insomniacs, Mr. Different Adams. Mr. Different Adams, I won't ask you to stand up in case you get another nosebleed and have to be rushed to hospital for an I-cord transfusion.
Basically, I see comedy as a kind of amphibious landing craft.
Oh, shut up!
Certainly.